told us something that's it's had us a little bit rattled in here.
Oh, it's
Kimber.
Not that shocking.
Not shocking, but you know,
I think it is.
It's a cultural icon that you're not familiar with.
I suppose it's because look,
we're not talking about me.
You just shouldn't be surprised by the fact that there are many things in my life I've not experienced that other people would have.
Yeah.
I didn't follow pop culture, so I've missed something quite significant.
Such a rebel. So basically, we know that the new Top Gun has come out. It's taken Cannes Film Festival by storm.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly, people often worry about sequels of films that they love, but apparently it's fantastic.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good reviews. People coming out this week carrying on about it. That's why I casually mentioned I've never seen Top Gun.
Get out.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. Do you know,
especially on this station, Mix 94.5, where this probably gets a run once a day.
I've pretended I've seen Top Gun many times hosting quiz nights when they want to do the paper plane competition.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone has to make a paper plane and donate a dollar or whatever. And I've been like, give us the Top Gun music. Woo! Yeah, like really committing. And then flown those planes, and I don't know anything about it.
I mean, to be fair, I'm a bit like that. You know, there are films like The Sound of Music, for example, where probably not so much now, but when I was, you know, everyone's seen it. I know the songs. I know that she dances around the Alps, but I've never seen it.
No. Is the quote, I feel the need for speed, is that from Top Gun?
Oh, I feel the need. The need for speed. So, yeah, there's a, you know, it's not, oh, I feel the need for speed. Hey, guys, how you going? I feel the need for speed. Anybody keen? Or are we going to jump in a plane? Like, no, you got to.
I feel the need.
Yes. This is just the
Listen
table read,
him.
Guys. This Listen is That's up to the actor to create whatever inflection they want.
Matt, please finish that line.
I feel the need, dot, dot, dot. Play the pause. Yep. Play the pause. The need, dot, for speed.
You dorks. I mean, how big a deal could this film really be?
Oh, look, it was huge. I mean, when I was like 16, everyone, all the boys, you know, the girls loved Tom Cruise. We all tried to cut our hair and wear aviators, and which was a complete failure, but we tried.
Yeah, so is that like what makes it cool, the aviators and the leather jacket? Like, why should I see Top Gun, though?
There's,
I don't feel like I've missed anything.
I'll tell you what, we got a bit of time.
Yeah.
We'll give you 90 seconds of... This is why you need to see Top Gun. We'll
the synopsis.
The movie. Yeah,
so
the
you're
synopsis,
up to speed before before we see the next one.
Okay, I look forward to hearing that.
I don't know if that's the attitude, to be honest.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
You two have been grinning at me for a while now. You're excited.
It's because you're in for a ride, mate.
You're excited and I can feel the excitement. I said one casual conversation before the show started this morning and it rocked you.
Well, look, if you haven't, as we know, the Top Gun sequel is about to come out. Apparently, it's fantastic. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, like Kimber, oh, damn it, I haven't seen the original. I'm not going to have time to see it before the new one comes out. I'd love to get up to speed.
Mm.
Well, Kimber, we're going to do that for you with a 90-second-ish rendition of the plot synopsis of the original Top Gun.
I mean, yeah, warm up. This is a great
Unique
idea
New
because
York.
You might think, how can she not have seen Top Gun? But let's just be reminded, how old is it?
It was 86 it came out.
Okay. Yeah. How old is it?
It was 86 it came out.
It'd be 35.
Okay, cool.
Something like that anyway.
Producer Rami, producer Kerrod, have you guys seen Top Gun?
Nah, haven't seen it either. No,
not surprised.
I haven't seen it either. No.
You're both 12. I mean, I'm not surprised. You bullseye for Top Gun.
How could I be bullseye? I was 5 years old. That's not bullseye for watching Top Gun.
No, there's no need to be aggressive.
As if I missed this big thing that I was like far too young for. Okay, right. Tell me what happens in Top Gun so I can watch the second one.
Oh, don't rush us. All right.
Are you ready? Have you done your warm-up?
I'm good.
Imagine.
Do you guys need to go and get leather coats or what?
No, I'm wearing mine in my head.
It's theatre of the mind. Ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
Top Gun is the coming-of-age / redemption story of United States Naval Aviator Lieutenant Pete Maverick Mitchell.
Danger zone.
Things kick off when Maverick and his partner Goose engage two hostile MiGs, which is shorthand for the goddamn Ruskies, man, Maverick shows off his skill by getting a missile lock on one of the MiGs, but Maverick's wingman, Cougar, freaks out and he can't land.
I can't do it, man! I'm freaking out, man!
Cougar's freaking out. Maverick disobeys orders to help Cougar, but breaking orders is what Maverick does. And Maverick guides Cougar safely into land.
Gonna take you right into the danger zone.
The head honcho Stinger decides the only place for such a rebel to be sent is the Naval Fighter Weapons School at Naval Air Station Miramar, or Top Gun. Beautiful, Pete. Beautiful. Now, at the bar before Top Gun starts, the day before, Maverick, assisted by Goose, unsuccessfully tries to attract a civilian lady through song.
Look me in the eyes.
Yep.
You've lost that loving feeling.
Wow.
Whoa, that loving feeling.
How did they fit love into this story as well? There's so much action.
The lady turns out to be Charlotte Charlie Blackwood, an astrophysicist and civilian Top Gun instructor.
Oh, no! There's a chick in a significant role.
Charlie becomes interested in Maverick upon learning about his inverted maneuver with the MiG, a maneuver that Maverick and Charlie will explore later in a more intimate setting. At Top Gun, Maverick is in competition with another gun pilot, Iceman, who considers Maverick's attitude foolish and is flying dangerous.
I feel the need for speed.
During one of Iceman and Maverick's Who Can Pee Higher fly-offs, Maverick and Goose's plane goes into a spin and they eject, but Goose is killed.
Oh, no.
Goose!
Oh, God.
Maverick is racked with guilt, and not even doing his inverted manoeuvres with Charlie seems to help. Maverick graduates, and he and Iceman can put aside their differences to defeat more Ruskies. Maverick is offered any deployment he wants, but he chooses to return to Top Gun as an instructor, which of course means more time with Charlie and more practicing of that inverted maneuver.
Take my breath away. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, okay.
Bum, bum, bum.
They get to know each other, don't they?
That they certainly
bum,
do.
Bum, yeah, well, they might.
Stay looking, looking in the eyes.
Bum, 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 oh, bum, bum. I don't want to look away.
Don't blame you.
Wow, guys, that was...
Up to speed?
Wow, I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel the need for speed. I mean, it was very, very good.
You want to watch it now, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, let's cross to the boys, producers. What did you guys think? Do you want to see the film?
Yeah, 100%. Let's do it.
Yeah, I love the way you put it together.
I'm still thinking about it. I still think Need for Speed is a PlayStation game.
Oh, Jesus.
Pete, Matt and Kimba on Mix 94.5. Footy is Barra's game. Insurance is RAC's. RAC Insurance. For the better.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
Barra, you heard Matty just mention it. Wake up call for the Fremantle Dockers. 2 weeks in a row, wet weather kills them.
Yeah, I don't know who's more stressed at the moment, guys. The Dockers, the Eagles, or the Barrett household with Year 11 exams starting this week. It's a dead heat, I think. But the Dockers, you're right, reality check, wake-up call, got ahead of themselves, the coach said, but like a famous racehorse, Mummify, there used to be a horse called Mummify, hated a wet track. They used to say if you spat in front of Mummify that it wouldn't win. Well, the Dockers, they're a bit like that. They haven't adapted to the conditions, and considering it's a winter sport, I think they kind of need to come around. When I was at West Coast, we used to go out to, when we had that problem, we went out and trained at the back of Guildford Grammar on the ovals on the mudflats near the Swan River. So if Justin's listening, J-Lo, that might be something to do, mate. It's not a modern thing to do, but getting out there amongst the mud and the cows and the sheep and that. It did work. Well, we end up winning the premiership 5 years later.
Yeah. So, sorry, Barra. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The Eagles won a premiership, have they? Haven't heard.
Barra, sorry, mate. There you go.
You got me again, Kimber. I always mention it. But they'll bounce back. Don't worry, Pete. They really want to send out an SOS for their skipper, though, don't they? Send out the old bat signal like Commissioner Gordon did for Batman, except it'll be the Nat signal. Get the Nat signal. We need to get Nat Fife back. You want to talk about the Eagles, though, Pete, don't you?
We're super disappointed about Oscar, of course.
Yeah, he's our man, too. So I'll be very interested. In fact, I'll be putting whatever audio you guys get, and can you record it on video, please? We'll be putting it on the news because I haven't heard his explanation yet as to why he's not playing, because there's still 12 games to go, and that's their dilemma, the Eagles. They've lost six in a row. surely they don't want to lose another 12 in a row, which would be 18 in a row. That's not palatable. So where do they go? They do want to finish down the bottom for drafting reasons, but you also need to have, you know, some respect for your fans and winning games and all that sort of stuff.
But if they turned around and won every game for the rest of the season, what's the highest they could get on the ladder? Like, what's the best they could do?
That'd be 13. So they'd make the eight.
Honestly, two bad games for the Dockers and people are like turning to the coach going, what's going on? Lift your game. After this many down with the Eagles, I mean, why is it really necessary to keep showing up?
Well, that's the dilemma now. You can't keep losing. Mm. Hey, Matty will love this one too. How about Manchester City pulled off a comeback?
They did it again. Down.
Unbelievable. Aston Villa, they've edged Liverpool out to win the Premier League for the fourth time in 5 years. They booted 3 goals in 5 minutes. Pete, tell me you've got the audio of that last goal.
Mate, you know I deliver. They call me the postman. Have a listen to this.
Kevin De Bruyne! Good the one! From the brink of despair! Elation!
Whoa. And the thing, if people don't know, Steven Gerrard, who's the manager of Aston Villa, former Liverpool great, and there was hope that maybe he could inspire his team to beat Man City and give Liverpool the title, and it didn't happen.
Clearly not.
Exactly. Yeah. And Matty, as you would know, they play all the games at the same time.
Yes, they
so there's
do.
Such drama. Liverpool was looking like they might take it off because Man City was down, and then they got three goals in 5 minutes, and the Buggers took the title again.
All right, Barrett, good to catch up, mate. You have yourself a great week.
Yeah, drive safely, as I said, mate. It's horrific out there. And good luck with Top Gun, Kimber. You'll love it. I've seen it. It's brilliant.
Oh, look, I've heard good things, mate. I'm looking forward to getting stuck in.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Anthony Albanese, obviously, over the weekend. He is now the Prime Minister sworn in earlier this morning.
I, Anthony Norman Albanese, do solemnly and sincerely affirm and declare that I will well and truly serve the Commonwealth of Australia, her land and her people in the office of Prime Minister.
Well, Kimber, that means one comes in, one has to go out.
Rough weekend for ScoMo. I mean, it's never nice to lose a job.
No.
People don't like to lose their employment. Losing it publicly in front of the entire country and the world, not easy.
I wouldn't have thought so.
I would imagine. Bit tough. But, you know, the way that you fix that is to throw a little party at Kirribilli House.
Mm.
Invite some friends over.
Trash the place before you leave.
I would have loved that. Just like throwing
some
TVs.
See Jenny just going off. She had one too many margaritas. Smashing windows.
Yeah, no, Jenny was there handing out margaritas to the family and friends while they just had a sort of very somber celebration, I guess, at the house. But they got together and so, you know, what did ScoMo do? He's gone, you know what, there's a bunch of people around. I've got options. I could get out my ukulele, could get the crowd around to listen to that, or let's get out the whip.
And he went ahead and got the whip out. Now, full disclosure, this isn't ScoMo.
No.
I was going to say, that's almost impressive.
Yeah, almost.
Who hasn't been to a party where a slightly drunk, you know, middle-aged bloke hasn't got out a dangerous item?
Oh, I know, but you know what? He got it out and he cracked the whip once and there was just people standing on the veranda going...
Oh, well, hang on a second.
Because we didn't know if, you know, you've got to, like, support them, I guess, if they're doing something. But cracking a whip, I mean, it's not that interesting, is it?
Well, interesting enough for the whole family to get involved.
Yeah, they all had a go.
Yeah, and 131060, you want to know this morning, what's your family party trick? The one where everybody in the family knows how to get around it and do it, right? Because he did it. Then Jenny's like, hang on, I'll put my margarita down. Give me the whip. And then the girls got involved as well.
Really?
Yes. Yep.
So it turns out they all know how to do the whip cracking. It's their
the
family
Morrison
party trick.
Thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, look, this is probably not a family. It's maybe the closest we get to a family party trick is that my dad does this thing where he clicks his fingers, and I think we can all do it. But
go
everyone
on.
Can click fingers.
What do you mean?
I don't think. Well, he does a certain rhythm. He does this.
Jesus, I'm so that's glad about I've never skilled... been invited to
and
a
that's
party
why
your
you
place.
Don't do family party tricks. Because no one cares about the whip. You just go, oh, that was great. Oh, that's why you can only do them in your family, I think.
Well, my dad and my brother, I could never do it, turn their eyelids inside out. And so they'd both walk around as if they were, you know, slightly like zombies. Or
yuck.
Something.
All right, 131060. What's the family party trick this morning? All right, give us a call.
The one where, I don't even know what kind of party tricks families would be doing. What's something that everyone can do? Maybe they all roll their tongues or, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's usually
their own language, maybe that they all only understand, like a pig Latin kind of thing.
Hey, we've got tickets to Hanson, by the way, to give away. Well, American pop rock trio. Yeah, yep. Hanson return to Australia on their Red, Green, Blue World Tour this November. Celebrating 30 years of music and their new album, Red, Green, Blue. Tickets on sale Thursday at frontiertouring.com.
Hanson's family party trick is creating more families.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want 15 kids?
Yeah,
do you want 15 kids? Let's all have 15 kids. We're talking family party tricks right now after we saw Scott Morrison and the whole family out there cracking a whip for entertainment at their Kirribilli House party.
Yeah.
To not celebrate, I suppose, is it, really? You're just, it's somber drinks.
Well, I mean, you say that. They look pretty relaxed, actually. I think it must be a great relief. You know, he's been the Prime Minister. It's like, okay, well, let's get on with the rest of my day.
It is. You know what? You're right. It is a great relief to be paid for the rest of your life.
That's what I mean.
When you're not working.
Yeah.
It must be thrilling.
It must be. Fiona in Coogee, good morning to you. What's your family party trick?
It's a little bit weird, but anyway.
Good.
Dude, he's cracking whips with family members. There's nothing weird.
Yeah, okay. Mine's got to do with cracks too, but not cracking whips. We always get onto this thing where we have a competition. You have to put a 20-cent piece or a 50-cent piece in your bum crack, walk about 5 metres, and drop it into a cup.
I love it.
Okay, now Fiona, when does this competition come out? What part is it? Christmas Day? Like when are the family doing the butt crack competition?
Just it's actually probably too often.
Most Saturdays. It gives you a nice tight butt, and it teaches the kids how to save.
Janine in Spearwood, good morning. What's your family party trick?
Hi, we can put our feet flat on the floor and just raise our big toe without moving any of our other toes.
Matt's the only one that can try this because he's never wearing shoes. Can you do that, Maddie?
No, I can't.
No, you can't do it.
Am I doing it? I feel like I'm doing it.
Are you doing
I've got my foot.
Pete's doing it.
Oh, Pete's one of you, Janine.
Oh, look out.
Is this a thing,
my
is it?
Brother.
Give Pete your address off air and he can join you at the next do.
The whole family can look at
sure. And I'll teach him the little toe one as well.
Oh, hang on. That's, I can't do that one, Janine.
Yeah.
I can't do that
you
one.
You just had yourself cut from the Christmas lunch.
Oh,
you're
goodness.
Out.
Natalie.
You're so close.
What's the family party trick, Nat?
It's a bit strange, but I can gather my entire family together no matter what party as long as you play the Nutbush.
You'll
see about 40 to 50 of us, no matter where it is, they'll all get up and everyone will start dancing and you'll be able to tell who's part of the family.
I love that.
Because they all know the moves.
It's like kind line of scary dancing, bringing
isn't
a friend.
It? Yeah.
So this always happens when the Nutbush is playing.
No matter what party or event it is, the Nutbush starts playing.
Okay.
Everyone in my family gets up and starts dancing. Even if they're new to the family, they have to get up and learn.
All right. So if you're around Perth right now.
Oh, no.
If somebody stands up next to you as we speak and starts dancing, you know they're a part of Natalie's family. Yes.
I can only do it if I'm copying someone else.
Yeah, I've been doing it ever since I was little. The entire family, my grandma gets up. It's pretty hectic.
I love that. That sounds like an awesome tradition. I like it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
What a song.
Yeah, it's amazing. It just really goes, doesn't it?
Pete, Matt and Kimber. He was ducks of his high school and worked as a brickie, a shop assistant and at an abattoir before finding a career in comedy. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Please welcome, part of the Mix 94.5 family, Husey.
And as we come to you, Husey, Anthony Albanese being sworn in.
I, Anthony Norman Albanese, do solemnly and sincerely affirm and declare that I will well and truly serve the Commonwealth of Australia, her land and her people in the office of Prime Minister.
Moments ago, Hughesy, how are you?
He said he was underestimated all his career. Well, there we go. He's the top of the pops now, Albo.
Who would have thought that was a Calabrese name? Antonio Norman Albanese.
Who would have thought that it won't be easy under Albanese? Wouldn't be the best marketing ploy to try to get someone not elected.
That's right.
We've got to find out if there's a hole in the bucket now. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, good luck to him. And we know WA went red.
Well, I was shocked to see the actual colours of the voting when you looked across Australia. It was like on the East Coast, lots of greens on the East Coast.
Lots of teal.
A lot of red on the West.
You know what? Maybe ScoMo, if he had a time machine, he might have gone back and not, you know, not talked about the Croods. Remember the Croods?
Yes.
Us cave people.
We're not that soft-skinned, man. It takes a lot more to offend us than that.
Does
maybe,
it?
Maybe it was the way he conducted himself that was the issue.
It might have been a combination, I think so. Anyway, there you go. But also, yeah, so I'm mates with Josh Frydenberg.
Oh, really?
Well, the
rubbing
treasurer.
Shoulders.
The former treasurer who he lost his seat, so he's actually on the dole queue now. So
now, but
he did not reply to my text message. So I texted him last night and said, "Are you okay, mate?" And then I said, "Oh, sorry, I put the wrong your down." I said, "I hope you're okay in there." He didn't anyway. He hasn't got back. He's read the message, but not replied. Yeah. So.
He's left you on scene. Was it a couple of weeks ago you were saying that you were off to a party with him or something?
I went to the budget, which appears to be his last budget. I didn't realise, but that's a big night in Canberra where the treasurer, you know, says the budget. He gets out, and then they have a party afterwards, and every politician goes in and does a little speech to the people in the room about how they're going to win the election. So. Yep, well, they got that wrong.
Hey, Hughesy, when you go to dinner with Frydenberg, does he, like, split the bill? How does it work? Do you actually, are you shouting each other drinks and food, or is it?
I don't want this to go any further, but I once did a stand-up gig where Josh was in the audience and I got paid cash for the gigs.
We are coming down hard on tax evasion, Hughesy.
I'm like, don't show me the cash now. That's Josh over there. It's meant to go to him.
So, mate, just quickly before we let you go, are you happy? Are you sad? Like, you know, how'd you see it fall over the weekend?
Oh, look, I thought it fell as it was going to fall. I mean, 10 years was a long time for the coalition to be in government. So let's give a new mob a go and see what happens.
Give someone else a go.
I think that's what it comes down to. We get sick of the same BS. Let's try someone else's BS for a while.
Nice
it's
to catch
stop
up
raining,
with you, mate.
Though, doesn't it? It's got to stop raining. We've said that the climate's now going to be fixed. So it's got to stop raining. So
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Absolutely. We'll see. But and Freo cannot play in the rain.
No, shush. No, we don't need to cover off football, mate. We've got Barra coming up for that after 7:30. So, good to
stay in your lane, Hughesy.
Up the mighty blues, Hughesy. Good on you, mate.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
What's up, mate? You're a bit rattled. What's going on?
You know what it is? Look, I think we're very honest and upfront when we say we don't know the names of everybody in our office.
No.
We don't. I mean, there's lots of people, predominantly because we come in early in the morning, not everyone is here.
Mm.
And also for months there has been, you know, with COVID, lots of people were working from home.
Do you know who those two guys out there, outside
our new producers
are? Yeah, do you know their name?
Yeah, Rami and Kerrod. They're new. Be friendly. They're lovely.
Is that what their names are?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We've been going. Kerrod's has changed many times.
Yeah.
We don't know. We haven't locked anything in yet.
I mean, thank God for mate.
Yeah. Rami suggested Rami Salami, but we're still working on it. Now, you know, we don't know everyone's names. We do try. And you go around, you have a little chat, and you know, sometimes if you're friendly for too long, it's too late to now say, hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
Right? So I get that this could happen easily, but we've also worked here a long time, and I feel like our names in particular, the three of us, our names are written on lots of things. It just is around the place because, you know, we're the names of this show.
Mm.
And when I pulled into the car park this morning, we've got car bays allocated at work and we all have posters up with our name on it and then our name sharing who we share the bay with, right? So it's like, you know, so that other people can park in our bay afterwards.
Do you like who you're sharing a bay with, by the way?
Well, mine just says news.
Yeah, mine says news as well.
Oh, really?
So it looks like I'm from the news department. It says Kimber Cahill News, but I think it's saying Kimber Cahill, and then in the afternoons it's news.
I think there should be more information on them, like a photo, your coffee order, what your birth date is, what you like to do in your spare time.
A photo is not a terrible idea because that is how we recognise each other around the office.
Yeah.
And also more accurate than the name that they've gone for on the sheet today.
Okay, so what happened?
They've gone with Kimber Cahill and they've spelt my name wrong.
Right.
Which part?
The second name. I know it's not as popular, but like the Cahill is spelt with a K now.
Okay. Oh my God.
So what's happening here? I went to check because
I thought everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, they definitely would have stuffed up Matt's. Definitely. Are you kidding me? Diktinsky. They would have stuffed that up. Went perfect. Absolutely perfect. I thought, well, Corrali, they've blown it there. I bet they blow it. Go over. Perfect.
Yeah. Can I tell you why? This is my theory around things like this, okay? Because, like, Diktinsky and Corrali are generally quite hard names to spell.
You look it up.
I think you do. Mm. I think you walk in there and you look it up.
I've gone the extra effort.
Whereas I reckon Kale, they're kind of like, I know how to spell
whatever.
I know how to spell
it's like a loaf of tip-top white bread. Yeah. You know, it can't be that hard.
I am bread. I'm just potato. Yeah. That's all that's going on.
You're more than a K, Kimber. More than a K.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Well, of course, with so many of our WA brothers and sisters earning their crust doing FIFO work, it's obviously a big, big part of the fabric of our community. And we saw those alarming stories coming out about sexual assault on mine sites and that it's a difficult place for women to work in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to find ways to mitigate that. And now they're talking about new alcohol limits on FIFO sites, down to sort of 4 drinks a day and 0 shots. So, you know, 4 drinks, I'm assuming, for standard drinks or whatever it might be. But that's how they're going to try and keep everyone together.
We have a text line, 04800 21945. And the reason why I'm throwing it out is because I have never worked FIFO.
No,
so, and I don't have many friends who do. So I can't get into the minds of a person who is working FIFO. I don't know the scene, don't know the scenarios, don't know when they're partying enough for shots to be a thing.
Oh, well, yeah, 12-hour day, you'd think you probably don't want to be waking up with a hangover for your next 12-hour shift, would you?
I would have thought so, unless maybe there is like little get-togethers that happen in the common areas on, you know, the weekend or something like that. But even then, like, shots
what are you talking?
Blows
this
my mind.
This isn't like they're doing Midori shots because they're partying and they're up till 3 a.m. in nightclubs. These are like dudes that go into bar and go, I'll get one straight whiskey.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's that?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yes.
I don't think they're
just like walking in going, I'll have a vodka and a, you know, give me a cowboy and I'm out.
Well,
I think they're
text
just like...
Text line's out, so yeah.
Tell us what... Yeah. I mean, interestingly, one of the big miners has actually asked cleaners to check the fridges within the dongers, if that's what they still call them. They did when my dad was doing it, to see if anyone's sort of storing alcohol. But, of course, the interesting point is that the AMA reminds us that most of these assaults, or certainly the poor behaviour, are happening in work hours, presumably when alcohol isn't being consumed. So,
yeah, right.
I don't know if alcohol is the issue. As we know, alcohol does make people's behaviour change, so I'm sure it's a factor.
And very hard to regulate.
Yeah.
Like, 4 standard drinks, it might be, as you say, it's hard to know, but if I'm serving over the bar, 4 standard red wines is a different alcohol content to 4 standard vodka and, you know, lemon or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how much Beaujolais people are having on the sites, but, you know, I'm sure there's someone having a red.